Why did Jesus come if it wasn't to save us? If there was another way possible, he wouldn't die for us. He wouldn't have to. But that's where I was. I thought there was a way that I could get into heaven by works. Yes, it was taught about being Jesus being crucified for us, but there was no understanding that he came in the flesh, as it says in John, that if he, to those that believe, you know, that they have, he has given them power to become the sons of God. But then he also in 1 John he says that if they do not believe that he came in the flesh, they are the spirit of Antichrist. The way we looked at Jesus was something beyond possible of reaching. He is the Son of God. That's why he was clean. And did we consider that he was tempted as like as we were because he came in the flesh? We didn't consider that way. But he was. And therefore, I didn't see the possibility of overcoming sin. I was a slave to sin. Sin is there to bind us and bring us into captivity. But God had another plan, even way back from Adam, Eve. He said, I will give you a deliverer. And he promised it to Moses. And that was when, I'm just going to say the time was, you're fairly old now, Rob. In Christ. I'm still young. So you were more in the time when we got married, the year we got married. But 6 years later, I mean, God got a hold of us as well, in that we needed to be saved. But before that, it was more of a trying. I had goals of overcoming sins. I had a vision that to get out of sin, to overcome it, but there was just no way. I mean, it was actually, I was just thinking, how was it possible to overcome sin? He says, call his name Jesus, which will deliver your people from sin. And I was trying to overcome it by setting goals for myself, by trying harder, by saying, well, okay, for one was, when I get to, I was at 15, 16, I was crying out to God, saying, asking for deliverance. But I didn't understand salvation. I got to the point where I thought, did God really exist? He's not answering my prayers. And got very discouraged of it. I was thinking, is there really a God? Considering what should I be do with my life? And time came when I thought, if there's no God, yet I have to make a choice what to do with my life, you know. So I thought, looking outside the Amish, that doesn't look too good. The Amish, I understood. But the Amish was all I knew. And that's why I looked at it as a safe haven. And so I somewhat committed to, okay, that's the best moral life that I would know, and at least if there is no heaven or hell, at least I had a good life, you know, at least a moral life or something. But there's times like 17 years old, I thought they were talking about getting baptized, which is really way different. And I kind of got hope because of what they were telling me, because they kind of weave it in with the Bible and weave it in with what the Bible says, and then the Bible's the truth. And therefore, I was getting hope. But anyways, after that, I mean, every time it failed. I mean, I fell into sin over and over and over. And I thought, well, maybe if I get married, I would be delivered. And that failed. And there was a time when I just thought, well, this is just the way life is. It's just, I had to accept it. It's no overcoming for me. But as God worked in challenging me and drawing me, and as Rob was saying, that as God draws us, He's already at work even before we get there. And I have to look back to, I mean, it's just, our first child was a stillborn, and that, I can say, it was a drawing to God. And as time goes, I mean, what are we really wanting to be delivered from? Or is there something that we just happy to be in? And there was a time I was challenged about knowing to be saved, and I was asked about it, and I said, well, there's no... And my wife said something about these people talking about being saved, and I said, well, the Bible doesn't talk about that you can know be... that you can know to be saved. And so, anyway, I started reading the Bible to make sure that my statement is correct. And I find that I was wrong. In John, 1 John, is it 1:13, where it says that you may know that you have eternal life. These things I have written unto you that you may know. And so I admitted I was wrong. But there was people that in my life was taught me pretty much, if you believe you are born again, if you believe you are born again. And so in that, I tried really hard to believe. And yet I was not really overcoming. And yet I accepted the fact that I was born again. Now I believe I wasn't, because I was still in grips of sin. And I love sin more than I love God. I fear man over fearing God. So, but as I found myself reading the Bible more and more, I fell under conviction in times of crying and saying, oh God, you know, how is it that I'm still in this misery, in the grips of sin? And so after that, about a year later, I mean, I started sharing the truth and this and that, and people thought, yeah, there's a difference. And we began to begin persecuted. Now, no one was persecuted here. It's hard to understand, but the persecution is actually a sweet something that causes you to be pressed in more than you would otherwise, I believe. Because you wanted to know what's true. You were hit from sides that you never thought you'd be having to tangle with. So it's a real spiritual warfare at that time. But you learn to have to fight and find the truth, because that's your real weapon. Because nothing else will hold. But there was a time I was reading Colossians because I thought I want to find the answer about being born again and being Amish. And Colossians, it's just like, it made it clear to me, handle not, touch not, taste not. This is what I was from. And it says it's from the rudiments of the world. And from the rudiments of the... if I'm still holding on to the rudiments of the world, God just showed me either it's that or Him. And so I was, would you say confused? No, I was somewhat confused about it, but I said, how can this be? Because I thought my parents, you know, I didn't look them as being part of the world. But now I began to see it, and I began to know that I was holding on to the world at the same time I was trying to get to God, and it wasn't going to work. And I became under conviction. I thought, well, I'm going to go out and work God off as beforehand. I usually work through things when I was just work hard and your mind would kind of finally clear up. But that time it didn't. It just bore on me so hard that I started breaking down and I cry for a while and I work again for a little while and it just kept bearing on me. But another thing that happened to me the day before was of living testimony. We talk about a testimony. I thought of the scripture. You overcame them. You overcame the evil one, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And but he shared his testimony how he came over alcohol and drugs. And that was the first time I ever heard anybody in a life sharing of a real deliverance. And I yearned for it. And he asked me this question, if I would die tonight, would I go to heaven? I said, yes. And he asked why. And I basically said, if I wouldn't turn my back on God. But why? Because it's Christ. Christ died for me, you know. And so the next day, I thought of that, and I thought, would I really? Because I knew I was still in bondage. And so, anyway, as I worked that through, and I just finally gave up to work and just cried and prayed and asked the Lord to save me. And God was there. I got up. I knew God was there. Then I started crying because I knew God was there. And I asked Him to never leave me nor forsake me, even though I didn't know that was the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God was fairly new to me, so I wasn't in memorizing or anything, but the Holy Spirit knew what to pray. When we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit knows what to pray. And for 3 days, I didn't really know what... I mean, I didn't really think, I'm born again then. But after 3 days, I realized a change had come. I knew God was there, and it was the difference from light and darkness. So why? I mean, why did Christ die for us? So that we might be delivered from the enemy, from sin, from death. Anything that the enemy has come to do is to destroy and to kill and to cheat and lie. You know, he tries to deceive us. And if he does, he's done something. But Christ did something so much greater. And that's why I'm so glad for Jesus. Because he gives us deliverance. That's the hope we can give to everyone. That's the hope that Ezra's going to give to those in Brazil. That there is deliverance from the things that they try on their own to please the gods of what don't even exist. But the devil has deceived them. So I'm just excited for that. It's because of Jesus that we can be delivered. And that's the plan of salvation. Deliverance from what? You know, saved from what? Saved from our sins. We don't have to be a slave to sin any longer. It says if we do sin, we are a slave to sin. But if we work unto righteousness, we are a servant to God. And Jesus makes all that possible. So I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Because he is the one, I mean, that has given us hope, which I have need it for a long time without finding it. And I know the misery of sin, the grips of, I may have not been using drugs, addiction of drugs, but I know the grips of sin. I know the hopelessness of ever overcoming it. But I also know the other side now, the freedom. Even if you were in prison, the freedom, the deliverance. Because that's why, if the Son has made you free, you shall be free indeed.